Right now, it is time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library and joins us here in the studio today. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing good. That is the second time today I've played the Street Beater Sanford and Son theme music.
Who else would you play it for, Aaron?
Victor Lewis and Aaron A.J. Johnson last hour, because we were doing Kids Q, and the question of the week was, if you had a musician following behind you playing a theme song, what would you want that theme song to be? And everyone just kind of agreed that that's the theme song that they wanted.
So, wow. So I'll tell you,
really
I was home for a couple days this weekend visiting my family in Virginia, and I flipping through cable, and there's some old Sanford and Son shows, and one of them starts, and my mom or dad, or my mom said, "Hey, that's your bumper music for your show." And I was like, "Yes, it is, Mom.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
yeah.
It is."
Isn't it great that you have now usurped Sanford and Son in the psyche of certain people? Yeah, it's great. So how's it going?
I'm great. I brought a guest with me today, as I love to do. So Matt Laddick is joining us to talk food trucks and books and downtown and all kinds of things. Say hey,
awesome.
Matt.
I'm very excited to be there.
Matthew Galatic is the new executive director of the Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership. Downtownchapelhill.com is the website, unless I'm wrong, in which case correct me. Nope, I'm good. Good to have you here. How long have you been on the job? It's been a couple of months now, is that right?
Just over 2 months.
Yeah. How's it been going?
It has been a fire hose.
Welcome to Chapel Hill.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah. I recently counted, and I have done 150 meetings in my first 2 months here.
So nice.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So you're coming over from Durham, where you also headed up the Durham equivalent of, or worked with the Durham equivalent. Right?
I worked with. I was the director of policy and planning. The head there is a very wonderful woman who's a mentor of mine, Nicole Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So in those 150 meetings, what have you gathered about downtown Chapel Hill? What should we know?
I am looking forward to coming out with a lot more information about it. We will be having our annual meeting April 26th at 8:30 a.m. at the Carolina Inn, which we'll begin to discuss it. We'll have a panel discussion there with Emil Kang from the Carolina Performing Arts, mm-hmm. Andrea Rusing from Lantern Restaurant, Gordon Merkline from UNC, and
this is going to be an awesome panel.
And Jay Patel from the Franklin, talking about a future vision for Chapel Hill. So we'll look forward to that conversation.
That's awesome. April 26th, right?
April 26th. Yep.
Coming up in less than a month, and a lot happening in downtown Chapel Hill. Obviously, between now and then, we're getting into spring. Basketball season's going to be over on April 8th, one way or the other. So this is the time when everything happens. And one of the really cool things that's happening is this Sunday, the Rodeo on Rosemary, a big food truck rodeo. Right downtown on Rosemary Street from 1 to 4 p.m. So tell us about it.
Yeah. So Matt, with his work with downtown and me and my work with community arts and culture, we're going to do a lot of great work together. And some opportunities came up right when he
Godspeed
came on board.
Godspeed, Matt, by the way. Yeah.
came on board. And as he said, he's drinking from a fire hose. He's meeting with 186,000 people. And I said, by the way, Matt, can you hop on board with these festivals and events this spring? He said, sure. So we are so pleased to have the Downtown Partnership and others involved in these, and we'll be sharing some more information about some of the other spring events. But the event, of course, we had Light Up, which kicked things off in February, but we're really coming into the spring festival season, so the first event is our Rodeo on Rosemary. So this is an event that the town of Chapel Hill has done a couple of times in the past, and last year we did it the same weekend that Table did their food truck rodeo. Mm-hmm. And they've done one for 8 or 10 years now. So they called us up and said, hey, we just did a food truck rodeo on the same weekend. Maybe we could talk about scheduling these differently, or mm-hmm. maybe we could talk about partnering. So we're thrilled that Table came on board as our nonprofit partner.
Awesome.
So the details.
Yes.
It is this Sunday.
Yes.
It is from 1 to 4 p.m. We're trying something new. It's still going to be on Rosemary, but rather than close the street, we are experimenting with some new spaces for programming festivals like this. So we're going to have it in the parking lot at the corner of Rosemary and Columbia.
Okay.
We don't have to close a street, which is much easier for us, less of a load on the staff side of things. And there's plenty of parking, because parking is free downtown on Sundays. And we have, I think, 14. 13 food trucks coming.
Yes. That's what I have written down here.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And I wrote that probably.
Probably,
so we can
yeah.
say your information is probably
is sound,
correct.
Yes.
Yeah, so some of the favorites, Cousins Maine Lobster, Chirba Chirba Dumplings, Dusty Donuts, Baguette About It, Banditos,
nice.
And the Taco Truck. And Tony from Banditos has been a great help in facilitating some of the food truck. Getting
stuff.
The food trucks
yeah,
there, yes.
Yeah.
So it's going to be
food
great.
Food truck stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
Food truck things.
And the parking lot at Rosemary and Columbia is increasingly being used for cool events like this, right? We just did the, I'm blanking on it, the German.
Der Wanderbus.
Wanderbus.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. How did
that's
that go?
Right.
I wasn't...
I was actually not in town that morning, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But that was a very small scale experiment. Mm-hmm. This one's a little bit larger. But the thinking is, so the reason the town started doing food truck rodeos is because people kept calling us up and saying, when are you going to do a
what
food
do
truck
do?
Rodeo?
Right, exactly.
The downtown partnership has been involved because it brings people downtown. And then, of course, Table, they come on board. They give it some gravitas and some purpose because it's both a fundraiser and a friendraiser for Table.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Table is such a great organization, tablenc.org, if you want more information about them. Want more information about the food truck rodeo, where can they go? Just town website?
Town website. Downtown Partnership probably has it on there. There's mm-hmm. a Facebook event. If you go to Facebook and you just search Rodeo on Rosemary, there's a list of all the trucks. A really cool thing that Table is doing, so Table is going to provide sampling cards. So for $20, you can go to the Table tent and buy a sampling card. And for $20, you can get 10 samples from different food trucks. So
awesome.
You can try a lot of different things just for $20, and Table gets that money.
That's
so it's
great.
A great way to
yeah.
to support Table and try all the different
and food
trucks.
And that's the best way to do a food truck rodeo in the first place, because you go to this place, and I have the same issue when I'm going into the Blue Dogwood, right, the market mm-hmm. downtown, where there's just so much great stuff, and it's impossible to choose, and you just want to try a little bit of everything. Now you can,
that's
and
right.
the money goes to benefit Table. It's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, again, speaking with Susan Brown, speaking with Matt Gladek, Sunday, March 31st, 1 to 4 p.m. Is the rodeo on Rosemary. Let's talk books. What are we going to talk about?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So we decided to use the food truck rodeo as
yes.
our prompt for the week. I've got a couple.
I've got a couple.
Matt, you've got a couple?
I yeah. got a couple.
Susan,
a couple?
You start.
Me?
Yes, absolutely.
No, I think our guests go. No, I will go first.
No, you,
go
first.
I will kick
and
it off.
Kick it off. Get
okay.
the ball rolling.
So
yeah.
I was thinking about all the food trucks. So I base my books on the food trucks that are going to be at the event
nice.
On Sunday. So the first book that I want to recommend, I was looking at the Cousins Maine Lobster book, and I want to recommend a book called The Lobster Chronicles, and it is by Linda Greenlaw. So many people know her. She's the female boat captain in The Perfect Storm. Sebastian Younger
okay,
wrote about
yes.
her. That's how many
people
know her.
I knew that
her.
Name.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So after almost 20 years at sea, she decides that she's going to take a break from being the sword boat captain, and she goes and lives on this little tiny island off the coast of Maine, and she's now a lobster woman. So she writes about her plans, this sort of transition, and of course, nothing goes right, but rather than the sort of thrilling take on The Perfect Storm, this is really funny. So this is her writing about her failures as a lobster woman. It's really, really funny. So if you know her from The Perfect Storm, I highly recommend The Lobster Chronicles, Life on a Very Small Island.
Awesome.
It's really good.
So where in the production process is she now? Is she gathering lobsters? Does she run a restaurant? What is her?
Oh, now? I don't
yeah.
know. This book has been out for a while.
Okay.
This was her, she was really done with sword boat fishing,
right,
Life on
right.
the Big Sea. She wanted something smaller. I don't know what she's doing now.
Okay, awesome. So The Lobster Chronicles, is
yes.
that it? Linda Greenlaw. I got to pick that up because I remember reading The Perfect Storm, and it's such a great book, and Sebastian Younger is such a great author, and like she's such a compelling character in it.
Right.
Yeah, so that's terrific. So I was asking where is she in the process, because my first recommendation is a book called Blood, Bones, and Butter, which is a great title. The Inadvertent Education of a Reluctant Chef by Gabrielle Hamilton, who is a big-time chef in New York City, and it's kind of, it's her chronicle, it's her memoir about how she got to be in that position that she's in, and it's fun, and it's funny, and it's, I mean, it's another really engaging figure telling her life story. So that's my first recommendation, kind of further along in the process.
That's
there.
A great book, and she did an appearance either at Flyleaf or at McIntyre's, and she is great live.
Yeah,
so.
That's terrific.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, Matt.
Matt, it's on you.
All right, keeping up the nonfiction theme.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Rediscovering the Center City by William H. White. Another great book of his is also The Social Life of Small Urban Places.
Nice.
He was a sociologist, an urbanist who was a studied people, and he really looked at especially in The Social Life of Small Urban Places, looks at what makes small urban plazas successful. And one of the major things with them is food. A great quote from that book specifically on that issue is, if you want to seed a place with activity, put out food. Well-designed food places can help give a life to a space. And he really talks about in those two books about how really great urban places are where you can't tell where the shop starts or ends and where the sidewalk starts.
Yeah. That's really
cool. I
love
that.
Yeah. That's also 100% true, because the places that I tend to gravitate towards when I'm in a downtown, whether it's Chapel Hill or Durham or anywhere else, they tend to be the places with the really cool food spots.
Yeah.
When he's talking about small urban places, is he talking about like specific locations in a larger downtown or just like a small town downtown kind of thing?
So William H. White is a scientist, a social scientist, and he based all of his research in New York City. Specifically, he was hired by the Parks Department to study the plazas and created a incentive program for buildings to create these public plazas in order for more height.
Awesome. Very cool. All right. So when was it published?
It was published in 1980. His research was done prior to that.
Nice. Awesome. How influential has it been? It's got have kind of trickled out since 1980, right?
You know, in urban planning circles, he's a rock.
He's number one. Yeah. All right. Awesome. So that's our first round.
Yeah, and I have to say, so Matt, Aaron tends to recommend super nerdy and
super
very long
nerdy
books.
Yeah. I think I recommended Jane Jacobs not that long ago.
That's right.
So now I've got to take the next step and read White.
So Jane Jacobs is great, but very unreadable. It's a really different, it's repetitive. William H. White is more readable, much funnier, good sense of humor.
Okay, awesome.
And also has a documentary out that Nova did based on his book.
Nice.
Really wonderful.
I did like Jane Jacobs, but I felt like I read it quickly, but I think I was also skimming. I think you're right about that, yeah.
So I was going to say, you know, you often recommend nerdy books, and I just kind of say, oh, I'm going to read that book. And then,
yeah,
of course,
I'm never going to read that book.
But that book I'm actually going to read. And in part because so much of the work where Matt's work and mine and others intersect is thinking about downtown and thinking about how do we activate spaces and have community celebrations, whether they're planned or unplanned, and thinking about the imprint of, you know, or the constraints of our downtown. So I'm actually going to read that book.
Awesome. Good for you.
Okay. So now this is a great transition. This is a great transition because that was very, you know, intense and dense and highfalutin and heavy and meaningful. Mm. Now I'm going to recommend a book about a donut.
Awesome.
So I was looking.
You can have a dense book about a donut. Most donuts are.
Well, the cakey ones
are.
The
yeasty
ones aren't. And, so there's a big difference
there.
Anyways,
go for it.
So one of the trucks that's going to be there is Dusty Donuts. Mm-hmm. So I want to recommend, it's a really great children's book called Arnie the Donut. So Arnie the Donut is its own, like, industry, because there have been many spinoffs. There's, like, middle grade readers and graphic novels. But the original Arnie the Donut book, it's a picture book. And it's about a donut, obviously. He's a little, like, naive, happy-go-lucky donut. He's in the bakery, and he really wants somebody to take him home because he's like, you know, life here in the bakery is one thing, but what must life be like out there?
In the big wide world.
Yeah. So Mr. Bing takes him home from the bakery, and Arnie is so excited until the moment when he realizes that Mr. Bing is about to eat him.
Yes.
So Arnie starts talking to Mr. Bing and convinces him that there's another way, that Arnie the Donut can provide value in his life other than being eaten. So it's a fabulous laugh out loud, really, really, really funny picture book. And she wrote also, the author is Laurie Keller. She wrote The Scrambled States of America. She's well known for really funny, funny picture books. So I'm going to recommend Arnie the Donut.
I just looked up books about food for on Google as part of my, or as the entirety of my preparation heading into this. And the one children's book that came up that I was like, oh my God, yes, I loved that book and I had forgotten about it. Is Blueberries for Sale by Robert McCloskey, which is kid goes picking blueberries with his mom, and then there's a bear that's also picking blueberries with his mom.
And things don't end well for young Sal. No.
No,
things
I think
end
they
fine.
End perfectly
the bear's fine.
Yes. The blueberries, on the other hand, maybe not. But
right.
Sal and the bear are totally fine. So as the healthier alternative to Arnie the Donut, or maybe like a balanced breakfast, like Arnie the Donut, Blueberries for Sale. I'm going
Love
with
it.
That.
All right.
How about you?
I'm going to go with just about anything by Murakami, but I'll specifically call out 1Q84, or I just finished reading Norwegian Wood. And both of those books, what he does so well is he talks about exploring the city and food, and it's always so simple in the preparation, and he gets into how they're cooked and the different types of Japanese food and the different types of restaurants and the setting, and I find it so inviting.
Nice. What is 1Q84? What is that?
1Q84 is one of his later books, which is an alternate version of 1984,
okay.
Where two people are interconnected and fall into a fantastical world of magic and wonder.
Nice.
It is the first Murakami I've ever read, and it was amazing.
I feel like someone was talking about that book. Like, this is not the first time I've heard about that book. There's a lot of people who are reading it and talking about it, and I feel like we had someone recommend it a couple of months ago or something.
Could
like that.
Could have been me. I'm a big
Might have
fan.
Been you.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, then it was probably you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're giving me that it was me, Aaron, look.
Weren't you listening to every word I said, Aaron?
I'm going to read it.
Right.
All right. Next up.
Okay, I got one more.
I got one more.
So looking at the list of food trucks, Chirba Chirba Dumplings will be there, and I understand that they're always a food truck favorite. So I want to recommend a book, again, nonfiction, called The Fortune Cookie Chronicles, Adventures in the World of Chinese Food by Jennifer Lee. It's a collection of essays. If you like food writing, they're fabulous, and it's really sort of cultural history, too. But each chapter takes a different aspect of what we think we know about Chinese food in the U.S. So there's one that talks about the sort of relationship to Jewish holiday traditions and Chinese food. My favorite one was she delves deep into the history of who was General So, which was fascinating.
Oh, nice.
The opening essay is about a lottery scandal that ended up being tied to fortune cookie numbers and being printed, which then she uses as her jumping off point into talking about fortune cookies and their cultural history. So highly recommend the Fortune Cookie Chronicles by Jennifer Lee.
This is a good big to read tonight ahead of the Powerball drawing, right?
There you go.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go. Just do it. My last one is going to be Fast Food Nation by Eric Schlosser, which I'm sure I've recommended at some point in the last couple of years. It's one of my favorite nonfiction books, and it's about the dark side of the American meal. I think that's the subtitle, but it's also kind of about the dark side of the American meal insofar as the American meal is now about factory farming and kind of these big conglomerates, chains, major producers that are kind of wiping out the small farmers and the small restaurants and the small producers. And insofar as we're all about promoting the farmers markets and eating local and farm to table, Fast Food Nation is just another really great example of why we should be doing that in a whole bunch of different areas of the food industry that you don't even necessarily think about. One of the really cool things about that book, it's a whole bunch of different chapters, and it's not the book that you think it's going to be when you start reading it. You end up coming out with opinions and knowledge and insights about just whole different aspects of just like American life and culture that you wouldn't have even thought about when you sit down to read this progressive book about food. So everyone should read that. And that's
alrighty.
Mine.
Do you have any more, Matt?
I can pull one more out. I had quotes prepared from my first two books, so Salt by Mark Kalansky.
Oh,
is
yeah, of course.
Fantastic book, just about the process of what salt allowed people to do and explore, and the worlds that that opened up for.
Super cool.
Also recommend his book Cod.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you could put salt cod together.
Salt and
you
cod
have a
together.
Thing.
There you go.
Which is amazing. He talks a lot about salt and cod in salt. I felt like he was cheating.
Right?
He probably was. I mean, most academic authors are just like repeating the same book over and over again, right? Hey, the Food Truck Rodeo is 1 to 4 p.m. Sunday, March 31st at the intersection of Rosemary and Columbia, the parking lot there. Other things that people ought to know about that or other things coming up?
Well, UNC will be playing basketball that afternoon, so it's
a great way,
you know, before, after the game, during, whatever, come out and get some food. You can feed your hungry family and, of course, help table feed other hungry families in our community.
Awesome. Matt, anything else that people ought to know about the downtown partnership?
Well, I hope when you come down for the Food Truck Rodeo, that you take the time to walk around the rest of our downtown and see everything else that we have to offer. In terms of the partnership, I'm really excited to be here. It's been a great first couple of months, and I look forward to being on the radio with you again.
Awesome. And mark your calendars for the annual meeting, which is going to be on April 26th. Much more to say about the future of downtown Chapel Hill then. Matt Galanik, Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.